04.
The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a great show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we will be featuring the Jewish Hour's own Chana Finman. We're going to be talking about, believe it or not, abstract art and spirituality. You're going to want to listen to this one. This one's just going to blow you away. If you're in the car, make sure your seatbelt isn't, your seatbelt's in good, secure, because you're just going to fly right out. And if you're sitting at home, this is going to be good stuff, let me tell you. We've got a wonderful assortment of Jewish music, of course. The portion of the week is the portion of Balak. It's good Bible stories, you know, the talking donkey, the whole business. We've got an awesome, very insightful, poignant Hasidic story. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. In what is not even considered close, the European Union voted not to include the terrorist organization Hezbollah on the EU's list of terrorist organizations. During a meeting last week in Brussels, several EU countries expressed their concern that a move to blacklist Hezbollah could lead to greater instability in the Middle East. Okay, that sounds rather backward, but anyway. 865 new buildings were started in the West Bank so far in 2013, an increase of 176% over last year. Kosher restaurant in Montreal was firebombed for the second time in 6 months. The Chops restaurant sprinkler system put out the fire before any damage could happen. 2 days earlier, Café Shalom in Montreal was also firebombed. Police are saying the fires are not hate crimes, but most likely the work of disgruntled employees or competitors. They mean business over there. An 18-year-old Palestinian was arrested outside the Tomb of the Patriarchs in Hebron for pulling a knife on security guards. The teenager surrendered without a struggle. The young man was released from an Israeli prison just 2 months ago. It is suspected that, like many Palestinian teenagers, being in an Israeli jail is better than staying in an abusive home. Israel warned Syria in a letter to the UN Security Council that it will not tolerate Syrian tanks in the demilitarized zone of the Golan. Syrian tanks were mobilized to the region over the past few weeks. The U.S. has issued a travel warning to that area. Sweden said that unless talks on a two-state solution move forward, it, meaning Sweden, would slash 28% of its annual budget aid package to $107 million for the West Bank and Gaza. The Palestinians have refused to engage in peace talks with Israel unless it halts construction in the West Bank and East Jerusalem. Israel has declined to meet any preconditions and has expressed its readiness to discuss the issue in the framework of the talks. Michael Karkok, age 94, was arrested for being an Ukrainian Nazi with links to murders during the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising and other massacres. Karkok has been living in Minnesota for over 50 years. He entered the U.S. after lying to immigration authorities in 1949, saying that he did not participate in any military service during World War II, concealing his work as an officer and founding member of the SS-led Ukrainian Self-Defense Legion. And some good news. Well, it doesn't really matter, this news, but it's news. The Los Angeles City Council unanimously approved a resolution to continue awarding city contracts without regard to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. The resolution is intended to go against the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, or BDS as it's called, which wants to bring economic pressure to Israel. The long-lost diary of senior Nazi German war criminal Alfred Rosenberg was discovered this week, and experts say it could shed new light on the Holocaust. The diary has been missing since the Nuremberg war trials in 1949. Rosenberg was a confidant of Hitler and was hung in Nuremberg. And finally, Google agreed to purchase the Israeli app Waze, that's W-A-Z-E, for $1.1 billion. Waze is a navigation smartphone app which will be used to enhance Google Maps. It'll let you know like right where you are and right where all your buddies are too. Waze broke off talks with Facebook because Facebook wanted to move the Waze headquarters to California. With Google, Waze will stay in Ranana. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in a growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We're on line with the Jewish Hour's own and my wife, of course, Chana Finman. How are you?
Thank God.
Happy, happy Father's Day. How is this Sunday morning treating you?
Oh, it's great.
Good to hear. Good to hear. Okay, what are we talking about today, Chana Finman?
Well, today we're going to be talking about art and Judaism in the context of abstract art. Yes.
Yeah, okay. This has always been very, very perplexing to me. It's like, you know, some of these things, and why are they hanging in museums? And you know that we've had this point of contention before. So you're going to just take some of these squiggles and curves and shapes and splotches, and you're going to relate them to Judaism for us?
Yeah, and I'd give a little background too.
Go for it.
Because, art and Judaism, first, in a certain context, you know, it's a big topic. Okay, so we're going to have a little brief chat today. But, you know, this is really my life's passion, and I have an art studio here, and I have many students coming and going over many, many years, and I'm in and out of schools, Jewish schools. And I never stop, you know, trying to find out more and be a little bit, what's the word, humble, which is a great idea, a great conceptual idea in Judaism, to be a little humble and say, well, this thing that is hanging on the wall that's getting me aggravated because it doesn't look what I thought might be considered art is getting me aggravated. How does this person get away with this? That's what my students always say to me when I show them some new works or conceptual works or something from the modern period. They get aggravated. And I tell them, you know, it takes a while to say, let it teach me. It takes humility to say, there's something going on here. People aren't stupid. There's a reason why this thing is getting all this attention. Maybe if I just calm down a little bit emotionally, see what it's trying to tell me. It's more of an interactive process. If I get myself a little humble, maybe there's a great teaching, an incredible teaching, as a matter of fact, even a Jewish teaching, in this image that merely by looking at this image or thinking about this image, it can help me in my service to God, which seems so strange at first glance to think that way.
Okay.
But after many years, I think it is there's truth in this thing, what I'm saying, you know.
Okay, go ahead and educate us. There's lots of things, like, for example, at the DIA that would fit into this genre of painting which you were talking about. Give us a for instance.
For instance, right. So here in Detroit, we have a great museum, the Detroit Institute of Arts. And, you know, there's many Jewish concept paintings scattered around the museum. You know, things that are very realistic, like the Jewish Cemetery, which is one of the greatest paintings that the DIA holds. Very realistic Dutch painting of a Jewish cemetery around the 1600s, which has the graves of the famous Sephardic tzaddikim, painted by a non-Jew, But it's like one of these awesome, big, allegorical paintings, big landscape, cemetery included. Well, there's a lot of bits of those kinds of things in the museum. Very, very bombastic, classical, very moving art from many different periods, paintings. But I'm talking today about the more abstract ideas, the more abstract pictures. Mm-hmm. So the DIA there is for a few weeks, till September 8th, May 24th to September 8th. We're lucky enough here to have Ellsworth Kelly's prints. Ellsworth Kelly is a living artist. He's 90 years old.
Not Jewish.
And not a Jewish artist. However, in one of the most, world famous, living, prolific artists of a very minimalist kind of abstract art. And I was lucky enough to meet him in Philadelphia at a press conference just about 2 months ago. And we're at the Barnes Foundation. They were having the first acquisitions for the foundation in 90 years. And they celebrated that acquisition with Ellsworth Kelly's 90th birthday, where they unveiled, so to speak, the sculpture on the wall, which has been housed at the Museum of Modern Art in New York for many years. It was originally made as a public art in a transportation building in Philadelphia.
So if you could describe it for us and then tell us how it relates to spirituality.
You know, that piece is enormous. Ellsworth Kelly was interested in not, say, small pictures. Ellsworth Kelly wanted to change her way of viewing things. He's more interested in the wall itself. So it's a large piece, and I'll just, in a nutshell, here's a young man who in the 50s, after post-war, he served in the war, he went to art school in the GI Bill. He's in Paris. He's meeting all the modernists who were still there, Miro, some of the cubists who were still in Paris then. And here he's an artist who could really render anything. During the war, he was rendering pictures of the GIs, of the enlisted men, you know, who were fighting in Europe, you know. Now he has to find himself as an artist, and he decided he wanted to become more of an abstract artist. And people didn't even know what that meant, by and large. At that time, the public was still having a great resistance to that whole idea. But what he did is, as I'm paraphrasing his own words, he looked out the window of his apartment in France, in Paris. He looked at the water of the Seine, the river that runs through the city, and he saw the way the light glistened on the water and the reflected colors. So after many, many attempts, sometimes using pure chance, making collages, throwing papers around, it kind of fell into a kind of a grid. And from that became many sketches, and from that became this sculpture on the wall, which when you look at it, kind of just looks like red, blue, white, black, brown, many colors, yellow, in shapes that are almost squares and rectangles, quadrangles. They're in a big grid on the wall made out of something that's almost like a metallic, shiny surface. And this was a big deal in its time. I think now when people would see a piece like this, it's become redundant. Our eyes have seen this in advertising. Our eyes have seen this just, you know, with all the visual things that we have nowadays, and design is always hitting us. But back then it was a big deal. So Ellsworth Kelly is famous for looking at something in nature and extracting pretty much a shape.
Okay,
a
Connor
color.
Finman, can you then say this? How do we put this grid of color into a lesson in Judaism, please?
Right. So, you know, I just have to say this, that everybody serves God in the way that God has given them their strengths. A very strong man would be, like, his mitzvah would be helping people build a sukkah, right? The big poles that are too heavy for the little fragile old woman. He would use his strength to serve God, right? So you have people who have a proclivity, a natural feeling towards visual things. And so they're way of serving God, so to speak, would be making things beautiful. And that can be a very personal thing, what that means to make something beautiful, right? What's beautiful to you might not be beautiful to me. So what an artist does, he has to find in himself or herself what's beautiful. Beautiful meaning what excites you, what's visually something irresistible, almost edible. And to keep that idiom for your whole life, that's what a great artist does. And that's what Elspeth Kelly has done, where those basic shapes and bright color have, you know, influenced his entire 90 years of getting this done, whether it's in sculpture, the prints, which are actually, I must say, it's a collection of a Jewish collector named Jordan Schnitzer, who is worked with the DIA here, the director, Graham Beal, and the whole DIA, to get these prints. And it's not just the prints. There's also upstairs near the Diego Rivera Court, there are other pieces. In prints, they're still prints, but they're a different kind. There are many different kinds of prints. And then you can see a film where he's actually talking about his work, and the film really does help. So, okay, so if a person is a visually inclined person, and they like to look around at things and get inspiration, right, that sometimes just merely looking at something can imbibe us with an excitement to do something, correct?
Okay. I'm still not following where we're going with this. Is how would we turn this into some sort of a spiritual experience, please?
Okay. Well, for me personally, I work with some women here who come to my home, talk to me about some of the pressing issues of motherhood. Yeah?
Go ahead.
Of being in the complexity of the world, how it is now, whether it's money, whether it's illness, the things that kind of weigh a person down. Elspeth Kelly's simplicity, seemingly simplicity, because it's hard to do what he does, but the simplicity of the finished object has a certain refreshing feeling to it. It's a mood lifter. That's number one. Just merely looking at beautiful color in a very simple form somehow makes us feel a little better, like this. I can do this now, just by looking at something. That's one thing. Another thing is that seemingly simplistic form can be something that can give rise to actual Kabbalistic meditations.
Oh, let's hear about that.
Okay. Well, Elspeth Kelly, I am sure, has not studied Kabbalah. Unlike Burnett Newman, who was also an artist, one of his contemporaries, So there is a piece at the DIA of Burnett Newman, who did study Kabbalah, and big zip paintings. It's incredible Kabbalistic ideas in the artwork. It was his intention in those pieces. Elspeth Kelly, no. Elspeth Kelly was looking at nature and making simple forms that are derivative of those shapes and colors. But we can look at a piece of modern art, which is not really the right term anymore, but some kind of conceptual piece. And the work of figuring out what it means can be the stuff that we have in our own heads, that we bring to it. So I'm saying if Elspeth Kelly has never studied Kabbalistic thought, it doesn't matter.
Okay, so take us through, for example, this painting work that you described that's at the Barnes, which is this huge wall of 30 feet long and 20 feet high of various different colored quadrangles.
And well, the one I just described to you, I'm going to put that one to the side, compartmentalized color, that's a different one. I'm going to get one that's a little more simple. It's here at the DIA. So people who are listening in Detroit don't have to go to Philadelphia to get inspired. Go down to the DIA, you'll see a piece. What it is, it's yellow and yellow, almost squares, one next to the other one. Okay?
Go ahead.
And Elspeth Kelly was just really doing something about yellow.
Okay.
About a yellow shape.
So what does Hannah Finman, the spiritual Kabbalist, do with this yellow
right.
and yellow?
Yellow and yellow, yellow and yellow. So if you listen to the Jewish Hour, you must have heard my husband, you, Rabbi Finman, discuss the idea that is expressed in Shneur Zalman of Liadi, the Alter Rebbe, the first Chabad Rebbe, who was being a Rebbe in Lubavitch in the years around 1770, around the same time as the Declaration of Independence was being written here, was when he was writing the Tanya there in prison. Right. But one of the great concepts that is discussed many times in the Tanya is the idea of what a soul is and what God is. And it's this wonderful Kabbalistic conversation where one has to kind of not look at all the complexity in their lives and just think, and it's hard to do, to really focus on this concept of soul and this concept of God. It's two different things. The soul is not God, and yet the soul is part of God. So yellow and yellow.
By focusing on these two different, like, yellow things, like you're in juxtaposition to the other, what you're saying is that I might be able to tap into my soul's connection to God. Is that what you're saying, Connie Finman?
I'm saying something different, Herschel. Let me clarify. I'm so sorry.
Please, I'm confused.
I baffle you, I know, but that's why we're married. You're still trying to figure me out. What it's doing is
when you look at a piece of art
like this, it helps you. This is sort of the fun part. This is the pleasurable part. This is the amusement park entertainment in your mind, okay, of what you bring to the art. You're looking at an art object. It's really just paint on the wall in a frame. But it can trigger in you what you bring to it. And that's what most modern art and conceptual art is about. It wants you to participate in the experience. It's not giving you the whole story, like the allegorical paintings by the Rizal at the Jewish cemetery and the great allegorical meanings between, you know, that are hidden in each picture of the person, of the tree, of the falling apart building. No, it's simple form of color and shape. And it's saying to you, the viewer, what do you know that's going to make this exciting? So it's an old-fashioned talk. It's like a head trip. I bring to it the things that I study. I study Judaism with you. I study Kabbalah with you, according to Hasidus, which makes it an intellectual process to get to the great concepts of Kabbalah. So I look at this yellow and yellow and think, it's this yellow. And is Hashem yellow, a different yellow, is soul. They're united all the time. One is embedded in the other all the time. We take our soul with us wherever we go, and the soul is an aspect of Hashem truly, of God truly, wherever we go. So I can just bask in that thought. So the way you just expressed it could be true for you. The way that I look at it is I would look at this and say, the soul is with me, with Hashem, right now, in every second, in every impulse, in every thought of my being. And I have to thank Ellsworth Kelly, the artist, for helping me see this, because I'm a visual person, and therefore it triggers this wealth of information of Jewish study.
Okay, now you got that from the yellow and yellow, but there's a lot of things that are hanging in this exhibit that are nothing really more than squiggles. And we're told, for example, that this picture with the squiggles is a big pile of leaves. And then when you tell me that it's a big pile of leaves, I kind of look at it and say, oh, yeah, it looks like a big pile of leaves. But if you didn't tell me that it was a big pile of leaves, I would just say it's a bunch of squiggles. So can we achieve such a spirituality, Hannah Finman, by squiggles?
All righty. Well, because these aren't squiggles, these are actually contour drawing, which is not an easy thing to do. But contour drawing is something I teach in the art studio here, and I've taken many classes trying to get better and better at this my whole life. Contour drawing is when you're looking at an object, and Ellsworth Kelly is using things from nature, basically leaves. Leaves have many different shapes, and the shapes of leaves are very beautiful. I get excited drawing shapes of leaves. It's something that seems so simple, and help me with the word, ubiquitous.
Ubiquitous?
Thank you. It seems to be the catchphrase word now. I see it everywhere. It's all around us. We take it for granted. But you try, and your listeners can do this. Take a piece of paper and a pencil. It's all you need. And go outside and stare at a leaf. And try to draw it so that you feel that the edge of your pencil on the paper is on the edge of that leaf. And what you get is something extremely true and beautiful. It's two-dimensional. It's not, you're not reproducing the actual plant. But it's a remez. It's a
an allegory.
A beautiful poetic statement that is of the plant.
Mm-hmm. And if anybody wants any help with this, they can contact the art studio at 248-542-5087, a proud sponsor of the Jewish Hour, to help with your perception in nature. Go ahead, Hannah Finman.
Well, there's something in that you want to make up something poetic, like an allegory, according to Hasidus, of something like that. And I would say this, that the act of drawing a leaf, which you, some people say, oh, you know, you're wasting your time. You should be learning Torah, not drawing. But what it can do is, after a few struggles with this, and Herschel, I'm going to make you do this.
One day
you'll give a report to your listeners if you survived my little art lesson with you. But what we do is we're learning to see. And when we're learning to see, artistically speaking, learning to see where this curve comes and becomes a point, where it gets fat, where it joins that other line, really staring at nature. What this does, when you're finished doing this and you step back and you look around and you see the complexity of our world, that we have bazillion leaves and each one's a little different from the next, and there's so much to say just about that, you become very awed by the Creator. You know, you could go to Alaska and climb Denali and be awed by the magnificence of God's creations. As it, you know, it says in, I love to say the words of the Psalms of the Tehillim, and it speaks about the wonders of what God has created. But you can feel this merely by going in your backyard and trying to sketch something. Or if you live in an apartment, trying to sketch just one leaf of a geranium. And then putting your pencil down and thinking, how awesome is the master of the universe? Havayahu Elokim. And everything is imbued with the Spirit of God. It's a very overwhelming, beautiful feeling. It makes you feel humble. It makes you feel awed. And that's a great...
That is absolutely
great,
quite awesome. Yes, that's great.
How often do you, as a person nowadays, when you're in the checkout line at Target, get to feel awed? You might feel awesome when you go to get a tank of gas nowadays because it costs so much. Man, that was awesome. But, you know, how much? But trying to see the complexity just in the natural world is something, exercise that can bring you closer to God, for sure. So Ellsworth Kelly's drawings, which you say kind of look like squiggles to you, he's a master of this style of drawing, of the contour drawing of the plants.
Okay.
There's no shading. It's just on the edge. And looking very carefully and pulling that pencil or pen extremely slowly around the plant. And I struggled with this. You know, I had a wonderful teacher. I'm going to mention his name on the air, Donald Mendelson, who's been teaching for 100,000 years, probably more like 40 years, over at OCC, Oakland Community College. He's had thousands of students. He's taught this process. And I was lucky enough to have his class in the contour drawing. And the Ellsworth Kelly pictures are beautiful. Some of them are more simple than others. They have the book. It's for sale in the DIA bookstore. It's called Ellsworth Kelly Plant Drawings. If you don't want to buy it, just take a look at it, and you'll see what I'm talking about. They're absolutely beautiful.
Okay, we're going to have to, we've run out of time, unfortunately. We could talk a whole lot more about this. We want to thank you so much for coming on and enlightening us. I feel really enlightened now. Thank you so much, Connie Finman.
Well, art should be something that makes us feel that we're lucky to be alive.
Indeed. Okay, that's going to do it. We're going to have to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Chiropractic healthcare offers patients the advantage of a safe and natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. People of all ages, including children, benefit from chiropractic's unique approach to health. Call area code 248-557-1818 today to find out how chiropractic can benefit your family. At the Solomon Chiropractic Center, we especially love children. All kids should have their spines checked periodically throughout their crucial growing years. Growth on a crooked foundation will create a crooked spine and become harder to correct later in life. Kids love to get adjusted at the Solomon Chiropractic Center. And hey, moms, did you know that chiropractic offers a safe, drug-free approach to helping with the many pains women often get during and after pregnancy? We even have special tables which open up so pregnant women can lay on their stomachs. We treat moms, dads, children, and grandparents with arthritic pains, neck pains, back pain, and headaches. People of all ages, including kids, benefit from chiropractic. Come experience the natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. Stop living in pain. Call area code 248-557-1818 today for a free consultation at the Solomon Chiropractic Center to discuss you and your family's health needs. Remember, 557-1818. That's 557-HI-HI.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We got time for some PSAs right now. The Zionist Organization of America will be screening the film Jihad in America, The Grand Deception. This will be at The Corners, which is on Walnut Lake Road in West Bloomfield, 7:30 p.m. on June the 26th. This movie has 6 awards and outstanding presentation, and that's the ZOA doing this. And for more information, contact 248-661-6000. Your organization having something that it'd like to have publicized here, free for nothing? Well, drop me a line at rabbifinman.com. Let me know what it is, where, when, what, who, how, and why. And we'll talk about it right here just for you. And we love doing it. In another vein, I received this week and is now freshly de-shrink-wrapped. This is the Noah edition, Koran Talmud Bavli, Pesachim Part 1. Commentary by Rabbi Adin Evan Israel Steinsaltz. I was thinking what Gemara I should learn next, and now that I got this, I'm going to be learning all about Pesach. This is the next in a series. This is Volume 6, and I am continuing to be impressed by this Talmudic edition. We talked about the previous editions in previous shows, and this one is definitely a keeper. Let me tell you, I give it 5 thumbs up if I had 5 thumbs, and would suggest you go to karenpublishing.com and order it. Actually, you could subscribe to it. It's actually cheaper, and they send it to you automatically, and it's a way cool way of doing things. And then you can get yourself a real good education because you'll be studying Talmud the way Talmud is supposed to be studied. We have, for your listening pleasure, new on to the American scene, somewhat have already been around in Israel for quite a while. His name is Itzik Eshel, and we have a piece called Shalom Aleichem, which means welcome. It is sung traditionally on Friday nights when people come back from the synagogue before they sit down to eat. And let's just listen in.
Shame on you.
Of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale. Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. We are in the musical segment of the show. This is brand new from the Moshav Band. Moshav Band has been around like forever. They were around when I was a kid. And they're still churning them out, cranking them out. This next piece is called Chickaboom, which doesn't mean anything in Hebrew other than going chickaboom. It's just a sound. It is from an upcoming CD, which has yet to be released or even have a name on it yet, but it's available online. So let's listen in to Moshav Band.
See what you believe. Just bring a little peace so this love can be released.
Many come with a gun and a cheeky bum bum cheeky. A cheeky bum bum cheeky bum bum. Many come with a love and a cheeky bum bum cheeky. A cheeky bum bum cheeky bum bum cheeky. Everybody wants a big cup someday. Put your money in the bank but it won't stay.
We got a lot of love, one ton load of. And now we go flying like a dove from above.
Everybody got a dream come someday. Put your money in the bank but it don't pay.
We got a lot of love, one ton load of.
cheeky, a cheeky bum bum, cheeky bum bum. And I come with a love and a cheeky bum bum, cheeky, a cheeky bum bum, cheeky bum bum, cheeky.
Art Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We got time for one more. Now for something completely different. This is Schlock Rock. We've been a while since we played Schlock Rock. And this one's called Another Door Opens. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. First of all, before we get to the portion of the week, the Shalom Wayne, which is part of the umbrella organization under the same umbrella that of which the Jewish Hour is under, is having a raffle. This is to support all of the activities that we do, including it'll help the Jewish Hour because that means that funds that would be diverted to the projects of Shalom Wayne won't have to be spent on the Jewish Hour. or vice versa, sponsors that are supposed to go to the Jewish Art won't be spending fun on Shalom Wayne. Shalom Wayne is an organization which helps people down on Wayne campus and environs. And we're looking to help make that part of Detroit a vitalized upcoming and past upcoming, already there neighborhood. We're having a raffle. $100,000 is the first prize, and there's a second, third, fourth, and fifth prize. Tickets are $100. You can go to rabbifinman.com, donate $100. Two is 183, is 250, seven is 500. And if you want more, contact me, and I'll tell you how much more costs more than seven. And do it today. Don't delay. We'll put you in the raffle. And, of course, when you make a donation, I get your address, and I will send you the raffles, and they will be already completed. You'll be in, and maybe you'll be the $100,000 winner. Do it immediately. The portion of the week is a portion of Balak. It is found in chapter 22 of the book of Deuteronomy. Good Bible story stuff going on over here. As Balak was a king of Midian, was afraid that the Jews were going to decimate his country and take over, and hired Bilam the prophet, whose prophecy in evil was equal to that of Moshe in holiness. And as the story goes, Bilam was told by his donkey, don't say anything that you're not allowed to say, that God's not going to tell you. And, actually it was the angel that said that, but Bilam, the donkey, alerted him to it, and Bilam could not curse the Jews, but he really wanted to, total anti-Semitism, and suggested that the way to get the Jews out of God's good standing is get them involved with idolatry and promiscuous behavior. And so the Midianites dressed up their daughters, seduced the Jewish men, and got them to worship their idol, which is called Baal Peor. What is this idol Baal Peor? Baal Peor means to go to the bathroom. Over the centuries of the development of the service of this idol, what would happen is the first people who made this idol would get really excited, and they would get so involved with the worship of this idol that they would lose control of their bodily functions, and they would defecate right in front of the idol. For them, it might have been embarrassing, but their kids saw that their parents were getting so excited, and so they would say, "Oh, I was really involved with it, and then I wound up going to the bathroom." And finally, the grandkids, all they saw was just going to the bathroom. So what they did is they just went to the bathroom in front of this idol. So the way that the Jewish men were seduced into worshiping this idol was simply by saying these women who were dressed to the nines, however much the nines is, would say to them, "Hey, would you like to come and make in front of my idol?" And of course, for anybody else, that's called a desecration. And unfortunately, 24,000 people were killed. What was the deal with Baal Peor? Is they took waste and made it primary. Now, in according to the Kabbalah, there's an interesting thing. I don't know if there's really a delicate way to discuss this. Godliness comes down into the world, and the focus of the godliness is conveyed through what is referred to in the Bible as angels. What are angels? Angels are conduits by which godliness flows down and our accomplishments flow up. As with anything, when you're trying to contain, whenever there's a type of a containment, like if you have a lot and you just try putting it into like a really tight space, there's going to be overflow. There's going to be waste. And that's what happened, because the godliness that comes into this world, that goes straight through the pipes and is directed the way it's supposed to be. But then there's this overflow, this waste product that becomes the pleasures of the world. Just to say it, you should pardon my graphic nature, angel poop. That's what all the pleasures of the world really amount to, nothing more than. And this is discussed in the Kabbalah and Hasidic philosophy, that a person who engages themselves in the pursuit of physical pleasure for the purpose of the pursuit of physical pleasure is really engaging in the idol of Baal Peor, in acquisition of angel poop. You have people, for example, that go out to eat. And what's the purpose they go out to the restaurant? The whole reason why they go out to the restaurant is to go out to the restaurant. It doesn't serve any other purpose than just going out to the restaurant. it's kind of missing the point. Like, how does that making the world a better place, other than the fact that you're giving some restaurateur and their staff a livelihood that they can maybe go and buy all kinds of good things, but it's not making you a better person. We're not saying that a person should not engage in the physical world. Anybody who's listening to this show for any length of time knows that I don't assess to asceticism and a life of denial. We believe that a person should engage the physical world, but with purpose. Because what happens then is it's not the pleasure of the world in which a person's engaging. You know what? It's with the spark of godliness contained in the physical world. And that then gets elevated through those very same angels that are bringing the world down. We have to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Spex Howard from the Spex Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for The Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Easiest way? Go to rabbifinman.com. You'll find a way to contact me right on the homepage. There's also archived editions of the show. Did Chana Finman say something you want to hear again? There was a lot of information over there. Maybe you missed something. It'll be archived right there for about a month, as are the last previous 4 weeks' shows. There's also the E-Parsha, which are written missives by yours truly into the portion of the week, and a story. There's the Hasidic U story, the Hasidic U Parsha, videos of yours truly. They're all there at Rabbi Finman. And there's also the very important donation page. We are listener-supported radio, listeners like yourself. We thank all of those who have participated till now, and we'll thank all those people who will participate. So go to rabbifinman.com and donate whatever amount you like. Want to participate in the raffle? No problem. Raffles are $100 for one, $180 for two. $250 will get you three. Seven is going to cost you $500. And if you want to do more, contact me, and I'll let you know what those prices are. Do it today. Don't like dealing with internet and donations? No problem. Send your donation of any amount to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. And all donations are, of course, acknowledged. We've got a quick story. The Menachem Nachum of Chernobyl was a very poor person. He was a Rebbe. He was a leader. His main focus was on the welfare of the people in his environment in the Chernobyl district. What would he say now? He went to a small village, and they didn't have a mikvah, a ritualarium there. And he came back to his town, and he went to a wealthy businessman and said, "I will trade you my portion in the world to come if you build a mikvah in that city." The guy was flabbergasted. "This is the Rebbe. He's a tzaddik. He's a righteous person. His portion in the world to come for just building a mikvah? No problem." One of his chassidim asked him, "Well, why would you do such a thing?" And the Rebbe, Nachum Nachum Chernobyl, said, "You have to serve God with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might." And there's an interpretation that all your might means with all your money. He says, "I haven't got any money, but you have to serve God with everything that means valuable to you. What's more invaluable to people than their portion in the world to come? I'm ready to give it up to serve God." That's going to do it. I'm going to thank you so much for tuning in. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. Take care.
"So we had this break-in on our block, and that triggered my mama bear instincts. I work full-time, so I'm not home when my kids get home. Sometimes I'm not even home before